Hello and welcome to the Deeply Rooted Podcast. We are here to root deep in God's Word so that we can live lives of unshakable faith. My name is Ben Jacobson. I'm one of the pastors here at Hope Lutheran Church in Fargo, North Dakota, and I am joined by my colleague today, Pastor Sarah Seibold.
Hey, Ben.
Sarah, it's good to have you on. We're in this new series for the summer, and it's called Scripture Speaks, with this idea and this truth that the Word of God, we both have Bibles in front of us, the Word of God is a living Word that speaks to us when we open it and when we read it. And that's the promise that God meets us here. It's one of the places that God promises to be in His Word. And so we're taking some time during the summer to have our pastors, some other folks come on and talk about some of the, maybe this is a favorite passage of Scripture for you that we're going to talk about today. I think it is. But also maybe Scripture that's a challenge, or we let them pick. So before this, if you've been following us, and if you haven't been following us, you can always go back and listen. We went through the entire story of Scripture from beginning to end, Genesis to Revelation. And we didn't touch every single passage and every single word, but we cover the whole arc of the story of God's redemption and God's saving grace and God's salvation that comes to us in Jesus. We started at creation and we ended with the new heaven and the new earth that God is bringing into this world. But now we'll eventually do that again. We'll go back to the beginning and read again. But for the summer, we're going to look at some of these favorite passages and see what God has to say, see how Scripture will speak to us. And I'm excited about this. I hope you folks are excited about it as well. Sarah, it's summertime. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things you love about summer?
Oh my goodness, what's not to love?
I know.
When you live in North Dakota, you know, we gear up for these few short months of warm weather and sunshine and being outside. So this summer, I'm looking forward to taking 8 weeks of sabbatical and being with my family. And we have some camping trips planned, and we have a Yellowstone trip planned. Mm-hmm. And I'm especially looking forward to those things. Just spending time with family, being outside, and of course, we've already got the barbecue out. So that's another fun thing.
A sure sign of spring and summer.
How about you?
I'm just curious for those of our listeners who the word sabbatical, is a foreign one.
Yes.
Want to tell us what that is and what that means and why it's important?
Yes. So sabbatical, sometimes when you hear people use that word, it's often in the academic world. And, you know, sabbatical means go write a book or do some major research in the academic world. Mm-hmm. But actually, it comes to us out of the Old Testament, where not only do we practice Sabbath every seven days. But, you know, but then there was always the... in the Old Testament, they also every 7 years, they practice where they like release debts and the ground lay fallow and everybody got a rest. And
the
year
of Jubilee?
Yes, you got it.
I'd have to go back and make sure I'm right about that, but
Yeah, so for pastors especially, this means it's a period of time, usually a month to 3 months, where our job is to not do our job. Is to do our own spiritual work, reconnect with God, reconnect with our family, and be renewed in spirits to keep us moving forward in ministry.
Yeah, that's important. You know, it's so counterintuitive, but this whole concept of Sabbath that we stop so that we can keep going.
Yeah.
You know, it's part of the stopping is part of the journey.
Right.
Of life, and it gives us a better understanding of pace and. And it reconnects us with, those things. So I've been much more conscious lately of the importance of that regular Sabbath and the rhythm of that in my life. And it's a command that God gave us, right?
Yep.
So good. Well, I hope that that's a blessed time for you and your family.
Thank you.
A time of rest and renewal.
Yes.
So for me, favorite things in the summer. I mean, we've been doing a lot of work in our yard, just landscaping and planting, and I like putting things in the dirt. That's one of my favorite things. And my son's learning to ride a bike, which is awesome. And
that is awesome. Yeah. Okay, can I ask a question about that? Are you going to do the Strider bike, or are you going to go just training wheel?
We did the Strider bike.
Oh, you did the Strider bike.
Strider bike.
Okay.
That never really took off for him.
Oh.
But now, because he didn't quite get the concept of it's like walking, but you're sitting down.
Right, and you
kind of
glide.
Because there's no pedals on a Strider, you kind of glide.
Yeah.
But yeah, now with the training wheels, I run next to him, and it's sometimes he doesn't know how to stop or turn. So.
So you got to help him out in that department. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
But it's really fun. He loves it.
I can imagine that gets a little scary.
Yes, it does. It sure does. We're going to read from Isaiah, the prophet. We're going to read from the 43rd chapter today. We're going to read verses 16 through 21. And I'm reading from a New Revised Standard Version today. And I believe you are too, Sarah, but ours are a little bit different.
I've got an NIV.
You have an NIV. Mm-hmm. Okay, yep. So that's why we were looking at the words earlier. And some of them were different, which is okay.
It's okay.
Might teach us something. So this is Isaiah 43, verses 16 through 21. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down. They cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches. For I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So we'll return to those questions that we ask every time when we read scripture in this podcast and also in our studies that we do here at Hope. The questions are, what do you notice and what questions do you have? Sarah, what do you notice in these verses as you hear them read?
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously the word spring and water, river, all of those things, of course, coming out of the desert or the wasteland is my Bible says, and in the wilderness, right? And that theme of water, of course, it makes me think of Christ as the living water. It makes me think of, you know, water is the basic thing that we all need to sustain life, right? And so this imagery of God bringing this new life in places where there weren't, where there wasn't life.
Verse 20, I'm sort of just struck by the choices of animals.
Mm-hmm.
Jackals and ostriches.
Mine says jackals and owls.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Well, bird.
Yeah, birds.
But jackals.
Yeah. What questions do you have?
Well, for me, it's, as I look at this, I know that this was for Israel, right? Mm-hmm. As I do my Bible study, that this was written for Israel under Babylonian captivity.
So maybe let's pause there and just talk about, so the book of Isaiah was written at a certain time for a certain people. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's more than that, more than a certain time and more than a certain people. But maybe starting with that historical might help us see a little bit.
Right. Yep. So back in verse 14, if we go up a couple of verses, we get more context. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake, I will send to Babylon and bring down as fugitives all the Babylonians in the ships in which they took pride. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. So this is where we get that context, right? Mm-hmm. And they're in captivity, they're being oppressed, and we know that their days are really dark and hard and treacherous in many ways, you know? And so then moving down to verse 16, God recalls the last time they had been in captivity. Mm. It was in Egypt. Mm-hmm. This is what the Lord says, he who made a way through the sea, right? The sure. parting of the sea with Moses, and we've a done path a, through the
we've done
waters.
A podcast episode on that. So if yes. you want to go back and listen to the story of God delivering his people out of slavery in Egypt,
yeah.
go back and take a peek.
Yeah. So just like, so he's helping them recall. Remember God's faithfulness mm-hmm. the last time mm-hmm. you were enslaved? Remember that? But then right away in verse 18, it says, now forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. And that's where I pause. Hmm. What was it? What is God asking them not to dwell on? He just had them recall Egypt mm-hmm. and the Exodus. But now what is God asking them to not dwell on when it comes to the past? Hmm. Is it the hardship, the hurt? Is it the exact way God delivered them? Is it what kind of was brought about after that deliverance out of Egypt with that covenant relationship? Because, he says it in verse, the writer writes in verse 21, these are the people I formed for myself that they may proclaim my praise, right? Like, these are the people, these are the covenant people, my chosen. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, what is God asking them to forget those former things, not to dwell on?
Yeah, that's an interesting question for me when I pause there. And mm-hmm. I think, yeah, that's a great place to go is what is God telling them to not remember? And then we're talking about how Scripture speaks to us. Mm-hmm. What are the things that God's telling me that I should not remember? Mm-hmm. And I think probably that it's the hurts and the sin and the struggles and maybe God is saying also, I won't remember those things either.
Especially as it moves into verse 19, right? See, I am doing a new thing. Mm-hmm. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. So like keeping, so yeah, I like that. You know, it's forgetting those things that brought death and hurt and death-like experiences, right? And looking forward to instead the promises of God, this new thing, this new life that God is making a way for.
Yeah, so the book of Isaiah, you know, there's lots of warning, mm-hmm. and there's lots of you know, saying, if you continue this way, this will happen. Mm-hmm. The Babylonians will come in and they will conquer you and they will yep. drive you out, and then it happens. And that's where we are right now. And it's sort of this present future. This will happen, and then it happens, And I think there's something going on here, too, now with God saying, here you are, and you're in a wilderness, you're in a desert, but mm-hmm. I'm going to bring you out. I'm going right. to deliver you from that. So God has made a claim on the future. Mm-hmm. And in that, there's a kind of relationship between present and future. Okay, I think we all understand that the present dictates how the future will go. Mm-hmm. So if I, drive really fast down the road, mm-hmm. I might get pulled over and I might get a ticket. We live in a world of consequence, right?
Yes.
So we know that the present informs the future, but I think there's a layer to this that's saying to us that actually the future that God holds for us informs the way we live in the present too.
Yeah.
Right? So we can live in times of distress with a peace that passes understanding because we know that eventually God will deliver us
right.
from the present moment and right. the hurts of our lives.
Yep.
That's the promise that I'm seeing here.
Yeah. So like what we're going, it changes how we move through the present, mm-hmm. right? To encourage us, sustain us, give us the perseverance we need. Mm-hmm. It makes me think about, I really don't like eating as much protein that I have to every single day now that I'm trying to, weightlift. But mm-hmm. if I can envision myself in November lifting and I'm lifting my goals,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Then, okay, I can do all the difficult exercises and eat all the food I'm supposed to. And it gives me that perseverance. It gives me that, I mean, that's not like, and yes, my body hurts after a lift, but to give something, that's kind of light and fluffy instead of, actual life hurts. But it makes me think of that. Like anytime I have a goal,
yep.
even though it's difficult to get through to make it to that goal, I will do the things mm-hmm. because I can envision the future. Mm-hmm. God's giving this vision of the future so that the people who are going through the difficult time in that moment are given the hope and the assurance and the things that they need from God. And what do they ultimately want? They want to be a restored people with God.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be restored not only out of oppression, but also back in right relationship with God. And so God says, it's going to happen. I'm going to make it happen. And it gives them what they need to keep going. And I think about that even for why I pick this piece of scripture in particular
mm-hmm.
for us to do today. I was on a silent prayer retreat as I was about to prepare to go into training for spiritual direction to become certified, and it was the summer of 2020, and. Okay. And it was a rainy day up in, now I got to remember, Trollwood Park on the north side of Fargo.
Oh,
here,
sure.
Edgewood Golf Course. Yeah. Yeah. So here we are, we're walking around and we're processing where we're at spiritually and what God wants to say to us in this place that we are preparing to enter into this season of being trained to be a spiritual director. And my walk, as I was walking around Trollwood Park, the phrase over and over, see, I am doing a new thing. See, I am doing a new thing. And I knew, I'm like, okay, I know it's a prophet. I can't remember which prophet it is. Like, mm-hmm. I honestly had no idea. I had to like Google, right? Mm-hmm. Why is this phrase coming up over and over? And I came to this, and the light bulb moment for me was 2020, what for most people was a difficult year, mm-hmm. right? And that was, I remember that year in particular, from March until this silent prayer retreat in August, where we were outside, I felt spiritually dry because we were giving so much, trying to keep community alive, trying to make connections, trying to do all these things, mm-hmm. trying to just keep our families going,
mm-hmm.
And yet I felt spiritually a little dry, a little mm-hmm. tapped out. Mm-hmm. I remember that Easter in particular. I don't share this with a lot of people, but I'm going to share it on a podcast. Mm-hmm. But that Easter, I remember sitting on my computer at home. I dressed in my Easter finest, most of us usually do on Easter, even though I was at home. And I was in my office because I had to connect with people online while there was an online worship.
Sure.
And I remember doing my job, getting through all of it, and I loved the worship service. I remember Pastor Chuck's message just filled me up with hope, and yet as soon as I turned off the computer, I was crying, and I was deeply sad, and I was deeply just, I missed,
mm-hmm.
because I recognized there were two things that were going on. I was trying to enjoy Easter for what it was, and what it is, right, which is Christ is risen. He has conquered the grave. He brings us new life.
Mm-hmm.
He brings us forgiveness. And yet at the same time, I felt this deep loss, this incredible, like both things were happening at the same time, that I felt a loss of like the nearness of God that I'm used to experiencing and how much like community affected that nearness of God, right?
Right.
Like, so here I am in August going on the silent prayer retreat, and I didn't realize until then, like, oh, I am just I'm tired. I'm done. I'm dry.
You were in an exile.
I was in an exile. Yeah.
Away from, I mean, we all were at that time, away from the community of worship, mm-hmm. away from, you know, the joy and mm-hmm. the peace and the hope and the comfort that comes from gathering and mm-hmm. yeah, and you were experiencing yeah both of those things at once.
Yeah, at one time it was a kind of a surreal time, and I remember once I Googled the text and I started reading it mm-hmm. all the way through, and I think of that, you know, as I ponder it now. Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? That was like an invitation from God to stop focusing on the past 5-6 months.
Sure.
But instead to move forward.
Yeah.
And like, it may have felt like God wasn't with me, but as I look forward, I know that He is. I know that God is actually not only through at that time, right, like the spiritual direction training, but also just in my life, like he was bringing about new things spiritually for me. Mm-hmm. He was bringing about new life for me in that time.
There's a really interesting little piece that strikes me in verse 19. Mm-hmm. I'm about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Mm-hmm. And then a question. Do you not perceive it?
Yeah.
And I wonder how often do I miss the new things that God is doing in my life because I'm not looking for them and I'm not trying to be aware of them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes God smacks us on the head and says, look at this. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we've got to listen and look and watch and wait. And, I mean, the church year is full of those times where we watch and wait and pause and look around, and other times where it's right in front of us and we celebrate with joy. How do we make sure that we are perceiving the things that God is doing?
Yeah. Well, in so many different ways. I mean, obviously being in God's Word. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think about that day doing that silent prayer retreat.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly I had remembered that Bible verse from previous Bible readings. I just couldn't remember where it was from that day. Like, so being in God's Word so He can speak to us in moments where that like interrupt our present thought, mm-hmm. right? But also, I think taking a daily time. One of the practices I engage in is called a daily examine. And it's a St. Ignatius like spirituality practice where you look back at your day. I take time every day to look back on my day. Mm-hmm. And ask myself, when did I feel closest to God and His love? And when did I kind of feel a little far? What was going on during those times? And then as I think about my day, you know, God, what do you want to teach me? Because actually asking God those questions, like making a daily practice mm-hmm. of like, God, what are you trying to show me or teach me? You know, the things that come up might surprise you, not what you anticipate or desire or want mm-hmm. from God, mm-hmm. it might be something completely different. But I think just that practice of doing that, where you actually ask the questions, where did I feel close? Where did I feel far? And then actually asking God, what do you want me to learn, mm-hmm. to move forward?
So how do you listen in those moments? Do you just pause with silence? And
yeah, for me, it's both silence and I keep a journal. Mm-hmm. So that I can also see some patterns over time mm-hmm. As I journal. Sometimes, I have multiple journals for multiple things, but the one that I call my actual prayer journal is the one where I'm actually writing letters to God. Mm-hmm. So I close my eyes, I sit in silence, and I ponder these things and whatever, and the thoughts that come into my head, I reflect on them, and as I ask God that question, what do you want me to learn? I'd really try to have an attitude of openness in my heart and so, you know, different things might pop in my head, a Bible verse, an image, a word. But then I write it down. I just write it down what came. And then in my prayer journal, I write a letter to God about what I reflected on, what I think He's trying to tell me, mm-hmm. and how I intend to respond. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's an actual prayer. Dear God.
It's me. It's Sarah.
Remember me?
Yes, he does.
Yes.
That's great. I mean, I think it's always helpful to hear how other people perceive and how other people engage in listening to God, listening mm-hmm. for his voice, listening for his leading. Because mm-hmm. It's not something that comes naturally to us.
No.
It's something that needs to be practiced.
Yeah. Do you have anything that you
I think it's quiet. It's prayer and quiet, and a lot of it is actually when I repeat scripture, either by reading it mm-hmm. or repeating memorized pieces of scripture.
Yeah.
So this is a really strange thing, but one of the places where I am the most focused on hearing God's voice and listening for his leading and knowing the presence of the Holy Spirit is I swim laps. And oftentimes before I get into the pool, I'll read a chunk of scripture and then I will focus on that as I'm going. And it seems like my brain is always going and mm-hmm. that focuses me because it's like all the sensory stuff is gone. It's just, you know.
Yep.
And so for me, that has been a really profound thing. And then the other is, writing. Mm-hmm. When I write something down, actually, Pastor Paul and I talked about this. He was saying that on one of our earlier podcasts, he said that he writes things down because he has so many things that he's thinking about that it focuses him, and his brain's moving so fast that it focuses him. And then I said, and mine is always moving through a lot of things, but really slowly. So it forces me to speed up and put the thoughts together. So I've always found that, to be profound. And then when you go back and you read, and this is what I noticed, what you just said, when you see patterns, mm-hmm. When you look back at where you were a year ago or whatever, mm-hmm. You see things differently probably than you did in that moment, or you see mm-hmm. patterns of God's presence. And so, those are things that have been helpful to me. And it's a practice, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I have not arrived.
Yeah.
I'm still learning.
Yeah.
And I think we all are.
Yeah.
A lot of, for some reason, I always go back to Psalm 23 and that's one that I've memorized, and I just repeat that, and that becomes like the background for listening.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
So if we look in the story of Scripture, the Old Testament kind of centers around a couple of events: Exodus and exile, God's mm-hmm. people being taken into slavery and released in the Exodus, and then exile, this moment where they're taken out of Jerusalem into Babylon. And in those times, there was literally time in the desert.
Yes.
Time wandering in the wilderness, mm-hmm. time away from where they thought they were supposed to be. We maybe don't have that, but we have wilderness and we have desert in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us are probably not literally uprooted and sent out somewhere else, but we do have things that jar us and things that upset the order of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the wildernesses, wilderness I, what do you say, wilderness?
I know, it's like hippopotamuses or hippopotami. No, okay, wilderness
we all have wilderness and desert in our lives. What are those things that we see when we look at the world?
Yeah.
And I mean, I can think of so many.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's whether it's a desert or wilderness you're experiencing in your job, in a relationship, in when you look out into the world, it's how you feel about the evening news or politics, you know?
Yep.
I mean, we can name all sorts. I mean, those are the ones that kind of like immediately jump to mind to me.
Yep.
But I think for each of us, it's when we pause and we have this feeling of despair or not having a purpose or not having a direction, and not having like that inspiration to move forward, right? Like, because that can be depression, it can be anxiety, right?
Mm-hmm.
But anytime we experience kind of that emptiness inside, mm-hmm. I often think that that's a reflection of our spiritual wilderness mm-hmm. and desert area, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we're focusing in on what what we don't have or what we wish it could be, right? Or even just saying, you know, it's not even about wishing, it's just recognizing and naming where we feel like we are at. Mm-hmm. And I think for this verse in particular, when we hear the words, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past, see, I am doing a new thing. I hear that as invitation. Mm-hmm. I hear it as an invitation mm-hmm. from God that when we experience that wilderness, mm-hmm. when we experience the desert mm-hmm. place in our soul, it's an invitation from God to look to him, mm-hmm. to look to his goodness, his faithfulness, his plans, his purposes, his mercy, his grace, his love for us, mm-hmm. To inspire us, to bring us hope and new life and new eyes to see, to perceive.
Because that's ultimately what God will do, right?
This right.
ultimate new thing where God comes into the world yeah. in the person of Jesus yeah. and his death and resurrection say that the present moment is not all that there is.
Yes.
There is a future where you are moving to. And so I think we hold in our hands both the present and the future. Well, God holds the future, mm-hmm. but he gives it to us, right, mm-hmm. as a gift, this gift of grace that says your future is certain in me. Mm-hmm. And what we need to do is pause and look to that.
Yes.
And when we lift our eyes, to borrow from another podcast Psalm that you and I did last summer, Psalm 121, I lift my eyes. Yeah. Where does my help come from? Then we lift our eyes from the present moment in front of us to the God who holds mm-hmm. the future. And so Scripture does speak.
It does speak.
It does speak. And I'm grateful for that. We're going to be continuing our way through this summer series. Scripture speaks again next week. And we're excited to have you back. I want to invite you to subscribe to this podcast, to share it with folks. If you subscribe, then it makes sure that you get the newest episodes right in front of you as they come out each week. When you share it, it's another opportunity for somebody else to hear the story of Scripture and to know that God is speaking in their life as well. If you want to know more about our congregation, about Hope Lutheran Church, visit us on our website at fargohope.org. We'll see you back next week. And in the meantime, stay deeply rooted.